Our scripture reading tonight is from Proverbs 3, verses 4 through 8. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, we need you to breathe your word into your word tonight, that it would be your voice that we hear, God. It would be you that we see, and we would be transformed, God, by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Back probably in November, I was sort of praying about what God would have for all of us together in the new year, and I kept asking God, like, what would be a really good verse to start our first Thursday together with in 2015. And I kept finding myself drawn to the book of Proverbs, which is odd because, you know, until recently I didn't spend a lot of time reading the book of Proverbs. But there's some really, really cool stuff in there. As a matter of fact, if you're looking for a way to start reading the Bible this year, one of the ways you can do that is in the months that have 31 days, like January, you can read one chapter of the book of Proverbs a day because there are 31 chapters. And if you haven't done that up till day 8, which is today, don't feel like you have to make up the other verse, the other chapters, just jump right in. But Solomon, David's son, the king who asked God for wisdom and God granted it, wrote these Proverbs, and there's some pretty cool stuff in there. But probably the most well-known verses in all of the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs are two among the four that Tom just read you. Verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him, the New International Version says, submit to him in all your ways and he will make your path straight. And that also sometimes is translated, and he will direct your paths. And really, I'm not sure that there are better verses for us to start the new year off with together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Sometimes easier said than done, right? We have no problem, you know, saying we trust God, and we have no problem even believing we trust God, but sometimes when it comes to living out our lives, and we look at the amount of time we spend worried and stressed out and fearful and angry and all sorts of other things, we realize that we're maybe not trusting in God as much as we think we are. At least that's my experience as I look back at my own life. I look at my everyday living. And yet Solomon tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And how do we do that and make it more than words? How do we do it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm convinced the more I walk this Christian life, the more I walk this walk of faith with God, I'm convinced that trusting God comes hand in hand with knowing God. We get even a glimpse of who God is, how powerful he is, how magnificent he is, how holy and righteous and just he is. And yet, how intimate and personal and full of grace he is. We start to be able to trust him a little bit more. Because we need to have a personal experience with who God is. Knowing about God is not enough. And it says we know him and know him a little bit more and know him a little bit more that we are able to trust him. When we discover in our own lives that God loves us no matter what, in our messiest, ugliest times, in the middle of the very worst attitude we could ever have, when we're all messed up and we're thinking all about ourselves and everything that's wrong instead of looking at God, and we realize that He loves us with a love that cost Him His life, we start to realize there's something about this God. When we go through hardships and trials and sicknesses and who knows what else, and we see that even when we don't quite believe He's going to work it out, when we find out that our faith isn't quite strong enough, as strong as we thought it was, to hold on to Him, and we find out that He holds on to us, and we find out that He takes those very worst moments in our lives and He uses them for our good and for His glory, we begin to realize that we can trust Him. When that love becomes something that we don't just talk about or sing about, but it's pressed into our lives, we can trust Him. When we read His word and we see His faithfulness and He speaks His promises into our heart, we can trust Him. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's not something we can just do in our thoughts. It's not something that we can just grit our teeth and say really hard, I'm going to trust God with all my heart. We have to have an experience with Him. We have to be in relationship with Him and know that we can trust Him. And then more and more and more, we start to trust Him with our hearts. You know, it's a process for us. We're people in process. And God is continually inviting us to take one step closer to Him, to trust Him a little more, to give Him one more little piece of our hearts, one more little bit of our lives, to let Him be Lord over it. And the start of a new year, a fresh beginning, is a perfect time to do that, to take one more step toward trusting God with all our hearts. But Solomon doesn't just leave it with our hearts. He says this, and lean not on your own understanding. This can be a scary verse because there are Christian people who sort of think they have to check their brain at the door, and they have to believe whatever the person speaking for God at the moment tells them. And I don't believe with any bit of who I am that that's what Solomon is saying. God gave us a mind because He made us thinking human beings. We're never supposed to listen to one person and say, oh yeah, that's it. Everything that person says is right. Because all of us are fallible human beings. All of it gets some part of it wrong. So we're not supposed to check our brain at the door. However, what we do need to do is submit our brain to God's way of thinking. God says it Himself. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. The kingdom of God is so often upside down from the world we live in. And sometimes trusting God with all our hearts means taking a step to do something or letting go of something that we're holding on to that doesn't make a lot of sense to our rational human mind. And yet in the kingdom of God, it makes perfect sense. Paul tells us that the foolishness of God is wiser than all the wisdom of men. God longs to give us the mind of Christ so that we start thinking like He thinks. Paul tells us in the book of Romans not to be conformed to the world, but what? To be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. Our minds are incredibly important to God. He longs for us to be a thinking people, but He longs for us to be a thinking people with the mind of Christ. Paul says we need to take every thought captive to Jesus Christ. So as wonderful as human wisdom seems to be, it pales in comparison to the wisdom of God. And God reminds us that if we trust in him, if we follow him, if we listen to him, he will renew our mind. And we'll start to see the way God sees. We'll start to understand the way God understands. And when things don't make sense to us, we can lean on God's wisdom. Because, you know, God has had people do some things that look pretty foolish to the way the world works. You know, a young man named David, with no armor and a sling and 5 stones, stood up against the fiercest giant that the Philistines had to offer. Peter, an uneducated fisherman, God had him take a step out of a boat onto the water. Foolishness in the ways of the world. And yet with Jesus, Peter could walk on the water as long as he kept his eyes focused on him. So we need to become familiar with God's voice. Because, you know, there's a lot of crazy voices out in our world. There's a lot of strident voices. There's a lot of noise. And God tells us in the Psalms to be still, to stop our ceasing, to be quiet, and know that he's God. So we need to find a way to quiet ourselves down, to get in the habit of hearing God's voice. And if you're not sure how to hear God's voice, the very best way to start is by reading God's word, because that's where God speaks the most clearly. He speaks in other ways, but that's the way he speaks most clearly. And as you look in his word, to ask him to open your ears, to open your mind to what he would have to say to you, because that's the thing about the living word of God, is it still speaks to us today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And this right here might be the very biggest part. Submit to him in all your ways. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he'll make your path straight. He'll direct your paths. God does amazing work all the time. God works sometimes through people who don't know him. God works sometimes through people who are unwilling to let themselves be used by God, and he does it anyway. But where God works the best, where his power is most readily and easily seen, is in hearts that are yielded to him, in lives that are yielded to him, in people who said, you know what, God, I'm yours. I'm laying down my plans for your plans. I'm laying down my agenda for your agenda. And as we start a new year together, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to live this proverb out in your life. To get to know God a little bit better so that you can trust him a little bit more with your heart. To ask God to renew your mind. That while we value human understanding, we're not leaning on it, we're not depending on it, we're depending on God's way of thinking. And this is really where the challenge comes in a practical way for you. I would long to see where we'll be this time next year as a people is if we try, and I know this doesn't happen every day, but if we make a really big effort to try every day to start our day giving it right back to God. If in the morning when we wake up, either by ourselves, with our family, however you like to do that best, we say, God, this is your day. Use it the way you want to. God, these are my plans. But what I want most is your plan in my life. The problem with taking challenges like this is we say, oh yeah, that's a really awesome idea. And then it's March and we go, what? I was going to do what every day? So, you know, if you need to, write it down. Write it down. To remind yourself, put a post-it on your bathroom mirror. Remind yourself to give this day, this new day, to God. And then it would also be interesting if you want to write down what you see God's doing in your day. But regardless, set an alarm even. You know, so many times if you're using your smartphone as an alarm, you can get it to go off with a message. Maybe write that proverb down on the way you wake up. Because God's got a promise in all this. He says when we do that, when we yield our lives to him, when we trust him even when it's scary to do that, when we let him make our thinking his thinking, this is his promise to us. And God keeps his promises. His promises is he will direct our path. You know, so often we're looking for God's will in our lives. We're struggling. We want this big thing. How do I find God's will in my life? God says it's easy. Submit your day to me and I'll direct you. And you may not notice for a really long time that God's directing your path, but keep doing it. Keep submitting your day, submitting your life, submitting your heart, submitting your mind. And his promises when we do that, he'll direct our path. And some translations say he'll make our path straight, which means he will steer us around the obstacles that get in our way. He will protect us from things that are going wrong. He will not leave us alone. I've spent a lot of years walking with God, sometimes trailing way behind him, sometimes running way ahead of him. But my prayer for myself in 2015, my prayer for you, is that we will follow closely where God leads us, that we will let him lead us, that we will let him use us, that we will let him draw us closer to him, that we will lay down all the I wants, I needs, I have to have, and see what he can do with our yielded lives. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we have no idea what this year will hold for us. We have no idea of the blessings you have in store for us. We have no ideas of the trials and the struggles that might be facing us still. But this one thing we know, you are good. And your steadfast love endures forever. So right now, tonight, God, we want to give you this year, 2015. We want to ask you to make it yours. We want more of you this year, God. We want to know you more. We want to see you move in our lives, in our church, more. We want to walk more closely with you. We want to see you bring more people into our community. God, we don't want to be satisfied with a little tiny bit of you. We want everything that you have for us. So God, we trust you. We don't always understand. We're afraid sometimes, and our fears and our worries get in the way. But tonight we want to declare one more time that we trust in you and in your goodness and in your power and in your mercy and in your strength. God, so we're asking you to renew our minds, to give us the mind of Jesus, that we would think your thoughts. God, we're asking you to help us submit our lives to you. Lord, you know we want to take them back and live them our own way. Help us day after day after day, God, to submit our lives to you, that you might really direct our paths, that we might really become the people that you are calling us to be, that we might really see your glory in our midst, that we might really see not only our lives transformed, but the lives of the people around us transformed, because all the glory is yours. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.